Pray for them. So it was good to have Sean with us, and praise the Lord. I want to thank the congregation for their generosity in giving. We took a love offering at the end of the service today for Sean, and that was $1,283. And so we just rounded off to $1,300. Roz and I did, and gave him a love offering check on behalf of the congregation, which I thought was a very generous love offering that the congregation gave to him. So that'll help. Like we said, he'll finish up here tonight. He's over at Fairhaven Baptist and Westland, and then he'll be moving on to Florida, back to Florida tomorrow. And pray for him. He is a rock solid missionary, done a great job over the years, and our church has supported him since day one, since he launched out to be a missionary. He and I had lunch today, and he's kind of sharing with me his personal testimony of how he got saved. He was in the Navy, and they were living in Florida, and so just kind of the steps of how God brought them through to where he's at today. And so you can definitely see God's hand on his life. So continue to pray for the Sullivan family and the work there in Ukraine. 2 Corinthians, I titled the message here tonight, God's Purpose for Going Through Test. God's Purpose in Going Through Test. You know, when I was preparing this message and looking at it, and, you know, my wife and I, we have 8 grandchildren. They're all in school. The oldest one's in college right now, and so when I get around them, you know, the other night on the way home, I stopped at Carmen Ainsworth High School up in Flint. My granddaughter, Michaela, was playing a volleyball game there. She's attending right now Powers Catholic High School up in the Flint area, and they live in Grand Blanc. And so I was sitting with my daughter at this volleyball game, and we got talking about Michaela because she's playing on the volleyball team, and 45 of the girls went out for volleyball. They are only going to take 15. Well, she was an incoming freshman into a new school, and so she's a little nervous about it, but she made the cut at the 15, and then not only that, ended up being one of the key starters on the team and a setter, and she plays really, really good volleyball. I asked my daughter, I said, where did she learn that from? Michaela is in the 9th grade in school. She's in advanced classes, and I was asking her the other night how her classes were going, and the test, and she goes, I'm Papa, and my wife is Nana. She goes, oh, Papa, you won't believe it. She goes, I got this one teacher that he thinks it's his mission to make it so hard on you to pass the test and just throw. And so he says nobody ever will get 100% on a test that I give in this class. I don't remember what it was. It was an advanced class that she was in. So anyway, she said, I studied and studied and said, took this test. And Michaela's one of those kids, when she comes home, you never have to tell her, go do your homework, never have to tell her to get up and get ready for school. I mean, she plays volleyball, plays basketball, plays softball. And right now, at the 9th grade level, she's got a 4.0 GPA from kindergarten through the 9th grade so far. And so she says, my goal is I want to get through high school, even with the advanced classes at 4.0. And so she's wanting to go to the University of Michigan on a full-ride scholarship. So we'll see if she makes it. She got a lot of work ahead of her in that area. But anyway, she was telling me about this one class, and they went in to take the test and so sure enough, when they brought the results back, he said the highest, and I think there was 110 students in this one class, said the highest grade in the class on this test was an 80%. Well, she never had an 80% before. She said there was only one person that had an 80% out of the 110 or whatever. But then he told him, he said, and he graded on a curve. So the one that got the 80%, it was really 100%, and that was Michaela Stewart. And so I told her, I said, good job, kiddo. And so I look at it. So she works really hard to pass those tests. But I remember her mother, our daughter, going to school. Chantel did really good on quizzes, did really good in school, studied real hard, applied herself. But when it come time to the test, it was just meltdown. It was like, I remember trying to get her through junior high and high school and even to college at Liberty University. Look, you just can't freeze up on the test. You apply yourself, you work, you pour yourself into it, you learn the material and the test and put in through it. And you know what sometimes happens? When we go through tests in life, sometimes people will have a meltdown and then they quit serving the Lord. I was thinking today, I was talking to Sean Sullivan, and he was telling me that his wife come down with breast cancer. And they didn't understand why she come down with it, and she had two bouts of it, went through chemo on the first one, and then finally got it in remission, and then it showed up again and went through the test, and now it's back in remission. So I thought of them that there's a reason that we go through tests in life. And that's what I want to show you in the message tonight. It's just not for our own individual self. It's for a biblical reason of why God allows you and I to go through some kind of a test in life. Could be in a marriage, could be finances, could be cancer report, it could be a job loss, it could be any number of different things. So let's look at it here. In this text, Paul opens up with a greeting here, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. He kind of greets the church of Corinth here. Notice in verse 1 and 2, he said, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, and with all the saints which are in Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. So those are just really introductory verses that he gives to the church. But now beginning in verse 3 through verse 7 is where our text will come from, and specifically in verse 4. He says in verse 3, Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. It's important to notice that, the God of all comfort. And verse 4, who comforteth us in all our tribulations. And that word tribulation is an interesting word. You might want to circle that word tribulation there in your Bible. And this term tribulation right here in the scripture refers to a crushing pressure. Because really in Paul's life and ministry, there was always something that was attempting to weaken him, to restrict him, to confine his ministry, or even crush out his life. So Paul writes this to the church of Corinth. He said, God, it is the God of all comfort in verse 3, who comforts us in all our tribulation, and Paul had a lot of it, that, here's the reason for the message tonight, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble. So you want to know why sometimes we go through a test? You want to know why sometimes we're being pressured? You want to know sometimes why something's happening in our lives? You say, God, what is going on? I don't understand what's going on. And what's the pressure? What is the experience? Like I said, it could be in your marriage, could be in finances, could be in a loss of a job, could be in a health situation, could be you just got a cancer report, whatever it is here. We go through tribulations in life, scripturally, biblically, that we may be able, in verse 4, to comfort them which are in trouble. By the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted by God. You see that in Scripture? So when we go through something, our comforter is God that comforts us. By God comforting us, we are then able to comfort somebody else that is going through something tragic in their life. And, as much as I might say, I deal with a lot of people that have run into a lot of things, people that have had strokes, people that have had heart attacks or heart surgeries, people that have had trauma situations and that. And I can have compassion, we can have sympathy, we can pray for them, we can say we understand what you're going through, but if you haven't gone through it, you and I really don't understand what they've gone through. And when you've gone through something and been tested, and that's the title of the message tonight, God's purpose in testing is that when you and I go through things, it's just not because of us individually. It's for what you need to keep your eyes on, is God comforting you, that you in turn, what you've just gone through, can be a comfort to somebody else on that journey in life. For example, today, Sean, when Sean was telling me about his wife having cancer, his wife now will be able to better relate to anybody else that's gone through cancer or got a cancer report or has had a mastectomy or gone through this cancer, and it's been such a powerful thing in her life. She now understands, and God has comforted her, and she in turn can be a comfort to somebody else as they journey on through that in life. And so Paul went on to say here in verse 5, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us," Paul said, "so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation, and our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be of the consolation." And then he goes on from verse 8 on down through that chapter. He talks about that one of these days you and I will be delivered from suffering and pain. And look at it in verse 8, 9, 10, 11 there. He said, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came unto us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." You got to look at it. Sometimes people get in such suffering and such turmoil and such tribulation. Sometimes they just feel overwhelmed. And Paul perhaps even felt like that, inasmuch that we despaired even of life. "But we have the sentence of death in ourselves," he said in verse 9, "that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Yet also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means by many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." You know, it was interesting this morning. I really enjoyed seeing Ken and Tina Waldrop in church. And they were so thankful and so appreciative and thanked me over and over again for all the prayers of people in the congregation. And Tina and Ken said the prayers of God's people has made a difference. She got the coronavirus so bad she ended up in the hospital. Ken got it, was able to work his way through it at home. But this morning they were so appreciative of what they have gone through. And now coming out on the other side of it, the suffering that they went through. Tina was telling me after church today some of the things she had to deal with going through that and the struggle along the way. So no matter what it is that we go through, keep in mind that word tribulation back in verse 4. It really is that term that refers to a crushing pressure. Sometimes, you know, when you're going through something, whatever that is, could be a loss of life, could be a loss of finances, could be a loss of a job, you don't know where you're going to turn to, the tribulation or what you're going through, the suffering you're going through, can just feel like a weight setting on your chest and like a suffering, like an overwhelming tribulation, and you're not sure how you're going to get through it. And he says here, and why we go through this, that he said that we may be able to be a comfort. A comfort from God is not an end in itself. So when you and I go through something, when tribulation comes, it's just not about that. It's about more beyond that. Its purpose is that believers also then in turn might be a comforter to somebody else as you go through whatever it is that you're going through. So God used Paul here to return to them a strengthening message after he himself received a divine strengthening of the Lord. I want to give you three simple thoughts tonight. If you're ever going through a tribulation, if you have in the past, if you are now, or you may down the road, keep this in mind here in the Scripture on three simple things that I think that we need to keep in mind when you go through a tribulation and you often wonder, God, why is this going on? Why am I going through this? Why, you know, I don't know if you've ever been there. Sometimes as you're going through it, you can't see it. You know, I just recently turned 70, and to me, 70 is still young. My kids think that I'm old now. But I learned something in 2 Samuel the other day in Sunday school that we all learned together, that the very aged doesn't start till 80. So I got 10 more years to go before I hit the very aged category. But what gives me hope is our golden agers, many of them are in their 80s and 90s, and they don't look very aged to me. They look, matter of fact, they'll go tomorrow, and if you went along with our golden agers, you'd have a hard time keeping up, and because they're always on the go, and tomorrow will be a fun day to be with the golden agers. So here's three simple thoughts for you tonight. Number one is found here in verse 4, is remember God's sufficiency. Remember God's sufficiency. By that meaning, he says here that by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. And that says that God comforts us in all of our affliction so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with comfort with which ourselves are comforted by God. So now here's an interesting word when you look at this word comfort. See that in verse 3? The God of all comfort, and then who comforteth? You ought to write this down. That word comfort there in the Greek means to strengthen. So when you and I go through a tribulation and a trial or something, God, why am I here? Why am I going through this? And sometimes you get older in life, like many of us are, then you look back, and now you can see how that God led you along the way through a tribulation, brought you out on the other end, and you can be an encouragement and a blessing to somebody else because God strengthens you and I. We, in turn, can strengthen somebody else in that journey. So God strengthens us in our affliction. And notice God doesn't deliver you out of your problem and then strengthen you. God gives us the strength as we go through it. You ever been there somewhere and you say, God, get me out of this. I don't want to be in this. I don't want to be here. I don't want to whatever, you know. Make this to end right now. And it doesn't. And so God says, no, you know, I'm not going to end that right now. He's going to allow that and permit. I'm sure, you know, you got to believe that Job probably thought that way, that, you know, though he cursed me, or Job, what did he say? Though he slay me, yet will I serve him. And so I'm sure Job maybe had the thought or two of, man, I just want to get out of this. I just want this to be over. And yet it went on and it went on and it went on. And so God strengthens us in our affliction, in our suffering, in our tribulation. He just doesn't bring it to an end. And he comforts us. We learn as we grow through that, that we in turn then can be a comfort to somebody else. And notice God doesn't deliver you out of that problem. And we'd like it to be over. But he says, no, I'll give you the grace to get through it. So instead, God comforts you and I through the test and through the affliction, whatever it is that you're going through. Also then, I think the second thought is that I want you to see here in verse 4, and that is remember God's timetable. Number one is remember God's sufficiency. God is always sufficient. His grace is always available. God's sufficiency is always there. God never lets us down. And I think the second thought is God's remembering God's timetable. God's timetable is not our timetable. When you find yourself in the prison of God's testing, remember God's timetable is usually different than yours. And let me give you a verse. Go back to Ecclesiastes in the Old Testament if you want to find your place. It's in the what the Bible calls the poetical books. And Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. So if you go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and oftentimes at funerals we will read verse 1 to verse 8, but I want you to look at verse 11. Ecclesiastes 3:11 said, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end." So God's timetable, and yes, he's made everything appropriate in his time, and yes, your affliction may seem endless, but it's not, and God at some point will bring that to pass. Let me give you a Bible example of that. You remember Joseph and in the Bible over in Genesis chapter 37, Joseph was a young man. He was only about 17 years of age. Remember that he had a coat of many colors, and as they went to seek or to find food or whatever, remember he then by his brothers sold him into slavery. And you know, that would have been a really good time, and probably at that age didn't understand everything, didn't know that he was going to end up at Potiphar's house, didn't know that he was going to get cast into prison again, didn't know that he was going to end up at Pharaoh's house and God was going to use him and bless him to be the second in command in all of Egypt. But he never had any jealousy in his heart. And he learned by his suffering. Joseph learned by his tribulation so that later on he in turn could be a blessing to his family and later on could be a blessing to those in Egypt. So when you think about Joseph, he felt like I'm sure when he was there, perhaps, felt like he'd be in prison forever. But on a certain day, the chief jailer threw open the prison door and said, "Joseph, you're free to go." Remember that? He got cast into prison, and then later on, he ends up at Potiphar's house and really became the chief person to watch and oversee the affairs of Potiphar. And then as things were going along, Potiphar's wife began to seek Joseph out and tried to commit adultery with Joseph. And Joseph, the Bible says, left and ran and left his garment in her hand. And so she then in turn began to falsely accuse Joseph. And so what did Potiphar do? Throw him into prison. And again, you can get bitter and hateful and jealous, and you got to wonder, you know, what did he do to deserve that? What tribulation did he, you know, what go through? And so he didn't do anything to deserve that. It was just how the circumstances fell into place, and God used that in a way to be able to bless the nation of Israel and to bless Egypt. And everywhere Joseph went, God put his blessings on not only Joseph, but around Joseph and the people around him, both in Israel and both in Egypt. And so when you look at it here, this word comfort simply, you know, it's interesting here that Joseph, that's the same thing what could happen to you and I on a certain day. God will say, okay, enough, the test is over. You've passed the test. And so you move on to the next phase. And then, if you will, the third thought I want to share with you tonight is remember God's purposes. Remember God's purposes. So number one is remember God's sufficiency, that God is all sufficient in every tribulation that we go through. God's grace is always sufficient in whatever it is you go through in life. Secondly, is that we need to remember God's timetable is not always our timetable, and we need to rely upon Him. It's over when He says it's over, and He will make all things for His honor and His glory. Now we need to remember, number three, remembering God's purposes. God always has, I really believe, a divine plan. God is a God of details. So God has a divine plan for you and for me, for this church, for the world, and everything. God is a God of order and a God of discipline. And so there's a divine purpose, and God has a purpose for the test that you perhaps could be experiencing right now. And if you look back, there may be a test that you've gone through in your life, and there was a divine purpose in that test. His purpose is always bigger. God's purpose is always bigger than our immediate comfort. We want comfort. Nobody likes to go through a tribulation. It's not fun being there. And you want it to get over as quick as it can, and it doesn't always do that. It runs on God's timetable, and you want it to be over. God, just end this quickly. But it doesn't. So I remember down through the years at different times, maybe something would be happening. I say, God, when is this ever going to change? When is this going to end? When are things going to get better? That's not for you and I to question. We just need to make the best of it where we're at in the circumstances of life and the journey that we're on. Joseph was a prime example of that. And no matter where he went, God blessed him, and he made the best of it. Whether it was at Potiphar's house, whether it was at Egypt under Pharaoh, wherever it was at, Joseph kept his eyes on the Lord and remembered that God had a specific purpose. So when you think about Joseph, you know, Joseph had the dreams, and let me show you this. Just go back to Genesis chapter 37, and we're just going to take a look at one or two things here. I'd encourage you to spend a little time, take the Bible in Genesis 37 through Genesis 50, and dig into the life of Joseph. There's a lot to learn there. But look at it here in verse 2. Genesis 37, 2, we'll read down to verse 11. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph being, here it is now, 17 years old. Think about that, when you were 17 years old. He was feeding the flock with his brethren, his brothers. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel, that would be Jacob, loved Joseph more than all his children. So, you know, I guess you could say, you know, is there favoritism in the Bible? Well, there was right here. Is there favoritism? You know, we ought not to have favoritism with our children, but Jacob loved Joseph more than all the other children because he was a son of his old age. And he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren, now his brothers, saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Boy, there's jealousy written all over verse 4. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. Now Joseph's getting ready to tell this dream to his brothers. It didn't go well. Look at it in verse 7. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And verse 8, and his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, question mark, or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us, question mark. And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and he told it to his brethren. He said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance unto me, representing his brothers. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. His father, now Jacob here, rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. So there you see, as you open up here, this, and because of this dream, what he really, the dream represented is really what actually played out. And Joseph then was sold. His brothers hated him out of the jealousy, sold him into slavery. But it was Joseph then that came back later on because of his position in life and was able to be a blessing and able to help his family survive during the famine, and was able then to be a blessing to all the nation of Egypt. And so remember God's purposes. When Joseph was going through that at age 17, I don't know that it realized that, you know, what was God's plan? What was God's purpose? Why am I going through this? But Joseph made good out of all that he did. So you can see, and we won't take the time to go through here, but it's a great Bible story. When you look at the family tragedy that happened here in chapter 37, 38, and then Joseph gets elevated to a great position of leadership down in Egypt, and then the transition down into Egypt and how it goes on, how he was able to bless his family. So what if things had worked according to Joseph's plans and the cupbearer here gone to Pharaoh and Pharaoh released Joseph? Where do you think Joseph would have gone? He would have hightailed back to Canaan to be with his family, and he would not have been in Pharaoh's court to interpret later on Pharaoh's dream, an interpretation that would save not only Egypt, but then all of Israel all well. So God had a purpose for this test that Joseph couldn't see at the time. He could not see it at age 17, but later on, as God began to unfold it, could see it. So God has a purpose for the test that you and I experience and we go through in our journey and our walk through life. And so we just need to do the best we can in the middle of whatever is we're going through. You and I are a part of something bigger along the way, and we need to look at it, I think, and understand it that way. Our testing is a part of God's eternal purposes and plans. It is part of God's plan for what he's going to do inside you and I, as well as we're able to help others. You know, I think about it right now, and you know, we all hear a lot about Dave Ramsey and Financial Peace University, and we've had Financial Peace University here two or three times in our church. Dave Ramsey's ministry is able to help a lot of people through their financial situation, that because Dave Ramsey, at a very young age, went through a financial bankruptcy and lost everything that he had. Started from scratch with his wife again and started to rebuild from there with a whole different philosophy on money and finances. And then God began to bless as he put things into place. And it drove him to the Bible to arrive at biblical principles of finance to be able to have the right method to be able to operate. So it really is true. Go over to Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, verse 29. Romans 8, 28, a very, very familiar verse that we're familiar with in the Bible. But I want you to look at that next verse and verse 29. Romans 8. Get over there. And then verse 28 and then verse 29, which simply says here, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. For notice this now, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among the brethren." So God in His foreknowledge, Sean Sullivan touched on it today, God is sovereign, but God has also given man a free will. So God in His foreknowledge knows everything, the beginning from the end, and all things in between. And so we literally know that in tribulation, in suffering, in challenges in life, in the test that you might go through along the way, we know that all things work together for good. What? To them that love God, and to them who are called according to the purpose. So for those whom He foreknew, He also did predestinated to become conformed to the image of Christ. More than anything, God wants you and I to be like His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the tests are God's way of revealing what we are made of on the inside so that He can change whatever is not like the Lord Jesus Christ. And He wants us to conform to that image, to be like Christ. So the test you're going through is evidence that you belong to God. And when you're going through a test, never forget that God is with you. He's working in and through you. And through that, there's a purpose and a plan and a bigger picture of that along the way in the journey. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, God's test and comfort and help. And that word comfort, I love that word. It means to strengthen. And God strengthens us. We in turn can strengthen somebody else in that journey along the way. Tribulation, the word literally means pressure, to crank down on. And you ever feel sometimes in life that you're being pressured and squeezed and tested to the core? But there's a reason and a purpose for that. And God will give us the comfort to be able to get through whatever it is in life. And that we need to understand that we in turn then can be a help and a blessing to somebody else down on the journey. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love You tonight. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You that we know that even like Paul said here, that through the tribulations of life and the challenges of life, the test of life, God, there will be tests along the way. Some of us in this room have already been through tests. Some of us are being tested right now, and some of us may be tested in the future going forward. God, help us to understand that no matter how hard the pressure gets, no matter how strained or difficult the challenge becomes, God, that we can find comfort in You and strength in You and help in You, and that Your grace really is always sufficient for every trial, every test, every challenge in this journey of life that we go through. So, God, we pray You'll be with these dear folks tonight. May Your hand be upon each and every one. May You give comfort where comfort is needed. May Your grace be given as is needed. God, may we look to You for that divine comfort and divine strength. And may we in turn, God, be looking this week. There may be somebody else that we need to come along beside and be a comfort and be an encouragement and be a help and exhort them in this life. And God, there is a plan and a purpose and a reason why the tests come in the life that we live. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.